Welcome to the game show on Sportsnet 650, presented by The Gaming Stadium. I'm your host, Max Sussman, and today we're talking Hearthstone. Now, Hearthstone's a pretty niche game, so I'm going to give you a little brief explainer in case you haven't played it before. It's niche in that it's not a shooter, it's not a MOBA, it's not even a sports game. It is a digital card game using existing characters and lore from the Warcraft series. It's a turn-based game where players build decks of 30 cards around a selected hero, the goal being to kill your opponent's hero. That's how you win the game. You use mana to summon minions or play abilities, and just like competitive card games from back in the day, like physical card games like Magic the Gathering or Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh, you have to buy packs of cards to use those cards in the game. Just in case you were wondering how a free-to-play game makes its money. Today on the show, I'm talking to two of BC's best Hearthstone pros. First, we're talking to Bobby Dew. He goes by Bobby X in-game. He is a player sponsored by the Gaming Stadium, and he just qualified for Winter Championships, which is a pretty big deal. It's kind of his big coming out party, that qualification. And then we're talking to Lazarus Esports, Eddie Liu, a.k.a. Seyun628. So let's get right into it with Bobby X here on the game show. He is a professional Hearthstone player sponsored by, hey, my sponsor, sponsored by the Gaming Stadium. He finished top 8 at HCT Oakland in July before losing to eventual winner Tare. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. I'm probably going to get a lot of names wrong here in this one. HTC, of course, means the Hearthstone Championship Tour for the uninitiated. He recently qualified for the Winter Championship with a 7-0 record in the Swiss stage of competition. I actually watched that at Vancouver Street Battle when I was sitting with the guys from the Gaming Stadium in a meeting. That means he's one of four players from the Americas representing the region at the Winter Championship. He is Bobby Dew, a.k.a. Bobby X. Bobby, thanks for joining me here on the game show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
I like to start every interview with the same kind of general question where it's applicable. Obviously, Bobby is your real name. Mm-hmm. So where does the X come from in your screen name?
I don't know, actually. I kind of forgot. I came up with it when I was like 10. And then because it was one of the first usernames I used, it kind of just stuck with me throughout the years. And then somewhere along the line, I kind of just forgot about the reason, so I actually can't say.
And it is EX as well, not the typical edgy gamer, like capital X, lowercase X. Full disclosure here, we talked about it a little bit off mic before we started taping. I'm not super well informed when it comes to Hearthstone, so as a Hearthstone version myself, let's go through kind of your qualifying run to get to the Winter Championships. What did you have to do in terms of events and results to qualify for the event that led you to qualify for the World Championship?
So for HCT Winter Playoffs, which is the qualifying event for championships, there's two ways you can get through. One is the most common way, it's through points. We're on monthly ranked ladder gameplay, or through tournaments, tour stops, events, you can earn HCT points, and the top 64 point earners in a region gets invited to the playoffs. It's kind of like the pinnacle of your region.
Sure,
you have all the best players, best players that over the course of a few months in a competitive season, they get invited to this tournament, which they earn their spot in. And the other way you can qualify is if you top a Tavern Hero tournament.
What's a Tavern Hero tournament?
Oh, sorry, I mean top four Tavern Hero tournament. So a Tavern Hero tournament is like a local tournament.
Okay.
Where, let's say I'm a local Hearthstone event organizer. I can request to organize a Tavern Hero qualifier. And the winner of that qualifier gets invited to the big Tavern Hero tournament. And then from there, the top 8 of the Tavern Hero tournament, they qualify for playoffs. It's kind of a way to make the local scene a bit more competitive and help the players that can't necessarily travel or grind every month for a ladder finish.
Talking to Bobby X, Hearthstone Pro from Vancouver. Now, Hearthstone's like, as far as esports goes, it's really the only one where you can play on your smartphone or your tablet and not really be at a huge disadvantage. Like, you don't need 200 mm-hmm. frames per second. You don't need a keyboard and a mouse, mechanically speaking, to play this game. How do you practice Hearthstone?
It's really just playing a lot, or playing enough that you understand the basics of how to approach certain matchups, because there are some matchups that are very straightforward that sometimes you can just autopilot. Like I'm just playing whatever is available in my hand.
Like, you know what the deck the opponent has is, and you know how to play it. You can just not think about it.
Yeah, but there are also other matchups which are quite difficult, especially in the recent few metagames, because there's a lot more successful or viable combo decks, and those matchups can be very unintuitive. There's certain plays you have to make that go against what typically happens in a game. Like, sometimes you would be buffing your opponent's minion because you don't want it to die. Because if they die, they get some kind of effect that progresses their game plan, because both players are trying to rush toward this combo finisher. So those matchups take a lot of practice, and those matchups take a lot of experience. And that's probably the main way that, at least I practice Hearthstone.
How did you get into Hearthstone? Were you like a Magic the Gathering kid back in the day, and you saw this as like a video game version of that, or...
So I played a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! Back in the day.
Same idea, yeah.
Back in high school, I used to play Yu-Gi-Oh! Quite a lot. I play like during lunch times and stuff, and part of the club. So I have a friend that approached me. He's like, "Hey, you should check out Hearthstone. It's a very, very fun game. It's very similar. It's very similar to Yu-Gi-Oh! But at the same time, it's quite a bit different. There's a lot of different strategic elements." And it's free to download. So I said, why not?
It's free to play, why not?
And so I played it, and I really enjoyed it. So I would just casually play on and off. And then eventually I got to a point where I would have enough cards, enough like in-game currency and stuff, to have multiple competitive decks, and that's what... That's when I first decided, hey, maybe I should try this game out a bit more competitively, because I feel very comfortable playing the game. And so I went to a local tavern here, and it was hosted by Matt.
So you went to Vancouver Hearthstone, yeah.
And that was like my first real competitive experience, and did quite well in the event. Funny enough, I faced Eddie in the finals. And I lost him, but it was really close. It was 3-2. So afterwards, I thought, hey, maybe I can play a little bit more competitively. And then I think I kind of just grew as a competitive player from that experience.
You mentioned Vancouver Hearthstone. We seem to, as far as esports scenes in Vancouver, we have a very vibrant fighting game scene and a pretty vibrant Hearthstone scene. What has Vancouver Hearthstone meant for you in the community here? Why do you think that has kind of a central role in fostering such a competitive Hearthstone community in town?
Yeah, I think it definitely does. At least a while ago, I remember Matt saying something along the lines of Hearthstone's one of the most competitive, at least at the local level, because he went to Innkeeper Summit. It's kind of like somewhere where all the event organizers get invited. He had a talk with a few of the event organizers, and a lot of the other communities are a lot more casual oriented. But for Vancouver, there's almost like a spirit of competition where I really want to do well because, hey, this player did well, and I think I can be as good as him. And there's a lot of relatively high level gameplay compared to what you normally expect. So I think it's very very significant to fostering the level of competitive players that Vancouver has.
You guys are all playing each other all the time, so you're making each other better, right?
Yeah, something along those lines. It's I think it's shown in the results too, because for the Hearthstone playoffs, if you top 8, you get a golden card back, which is kind of like, it's a cosmetic item, but it basically represents, hey, you're playing at the highest level.
That's the celebratory card back that you tweeted about the other day.
Yeah, the golden celebration card back. And for the past 3 playoffs, Vancouver has had a player that's earned that card back every time.
We're talking to Bobby X, pro Hearthstone player from Vancouver, here on the game show on Sportsnet 650. You shouted out Tare on Twitter recently for helping you build your lineup. This is the guy who eliminated you in Oakland. What did you and him do in terms of what did you talk about with that lineup? How did he help you?
So it was just with, roughly a month before the actual playoffs. He just messaged me on Discord, like, hey, do you want to build a lineup that centers around Questrogue? And it's a combo deck that me and him both played a lot and we were very experienced with, and that we knew that we each would likely bring to the event. So so we just had a lot of fear crafting for a few weeks back and forth, like, hey, does this deck work in this lineup, or would this other deck fit better? So we had a lot of discussion on, like, tech choices. Do I want to bring these series of cards for these matchups? And we've had one or two just, like, Discord calls just discussing mulligan guides, like, what cards should I keep in these matchups, and discussing just how the lineup should function, like, what decks do you want to target, what decks are we aiming to beat. So my discussion with him was, like, very fundamental to coming up with the lineup that we ended up bringing. We had 90 cards the same, and we both brought Hunter, except we prefer different Hunter decks.
Sure.
So there's a little variation, but generally it was my discussion with him that mainly led me to deciding which decks I would eventually bring.
When he eliminated you in Oakland, it was a 3-2 series. It was a close series in a tournament. He went on to win. Do you feel like that result kind of had him take notice of you? Do you think you feel like you earned his respect, and that's why he's now kind of working with you and helping you a little bit?
I think that's part of the reason.
It was a close game.
Yeah, it was pretty funny though, because he was also one of the only people I lost to in Swiss. In Oakland, I went 7-2 in Swiss, and he beat me in Swiss as well. But in that case, it was a 3-0 sweep. So
you got better the second time.
So, yeah,
you adjusted.
On the second time, I adjusted my strategy a little bit. I performed a little bit better, but he played really well, and his lineup was overall very favored against mine, because I had a very slow control lineup, but he had a very combo focus lineup. So he would eventually just have inevitability on my decks.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I drew, like, really well and he drew really badly.
We're talking with Bobby X, Hearthstone Pro, here on the game show on Sportsnet 650. A few weeks ago, I had a Rocket League pro named Karma on the show. She used to be a Hearthstone pro before she switched over to Rocket League. She said she stopped playing Hearthstone and she got kind of tired of it because she hated the RNG aspect of the game. She hated knowing that she played as well as she could have and lost because she drew poorly. Is that something you ever struggle with? And how do you think that skill can overcome the randomness of Hearthstone?
I personally don't really struggle with it too much. I think it's part of the reason is because I've played a lot of card games, and I just know, hey, there's, like, inherent games that I just don't win. And that's fine. Personally, fine. I'm playing a card game. It's naturally
there's
like
going to be
that.
Some chance to it, yeah.
Yeah, like, sometimes in Yu-Gi-Oh! I would have no disruption for my opponent's turn, and then I would just get comboed out. Or I tried a little bit of Magic, but sometimes you don't draw enough lands, so you don't actually have enough mana, so you can't actually play any cards. And so I think understanding that that's an inherent part of card games, and just accepting the fact that you won't win every game, even though you're a very skilled player, really lets you improve, because then you start looking at the games you draw poorly. Like, is there an alternate line that that could have won the game? And I think that's a really important part of how I improve. Or, okay, I drew badly, so I obviously can't execute my standard strategy. Obviously, my deck is built to have a specific goal in mind to win the game, but I can't do that if I draw badly. But with this hand, can I perhaps go with an alternate strategy that may win the game? There's a few decks that kind of do that, or they're typically like combo decks. But sometimes you draw none of the combo pieces, but the cards you do draw can fight for board, and sometimes you can just swarm down your opponent, even though you're not an aggressive deck, mm-hmm. but your hand suits a very aggressive style.
You read and react what you got, and you play it how you have it. So play the cards you're dealt, almost, right?
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of skill in trying to minimize the random nature of the game just by adapting to the situation, like being flexible with your game plan. Like you might not always win every game, but it's very. I feel like it's very important to just have the mindset that, I didn't win this game, but is there anywhere where I could have improved? Is there anything I could have done better? And just move on for the game. Don't take the losses too personally. And just take it as a learning experience.
We're talking to Bobby X, professional Hearthstone player, sponsored by the Gaming Stadium, just like this show here on the Game Show on Sportsnet 650. It's time for the final five. I ask the same five questions to every interview subject who comes through. Kind of a rapid fire round. You can answer with one quick word, or you can talk for however long you want. And for people who've been listening for a few weeks, number three has changed this week. I'm trying out a new number three, a new third question. So this is the final five with pro Hearthstone player Bobby X on the Game Show. What's your favorite esport to watch?
I have to say Hearthstone.
You were spectating in the lobby.
Yeah.
I caught you.
it's really fun to watch because, Blizzard has made it, like, very spectator-friendly. It's very clear. even as a newer player, it was always, like, very clear to me exactly how these things do. It's very cool because just spectating strategy games in general, because you see a lot of alternate lines and you're not sure what exactly... the player that's playing is going to go for. And sometimes they make a play that you didn't even expect, you didn't even consider. Mm-hmm. It's very cool to spectate. And there's a lot of things to learn from spectating, which I really like. Like, when I'm spectating other games, like Overwatch or League and stuff, I feel like it's a bit more hectic. There's, like, less I can pick up from. But maybe that's just because I'm less experienced of those games.
It's so hard to spectate League if you don't play a lot of League.
Yeah. Exactly.
Same with Overwatch. There's just a lot of stuff going on. By that token, you cannot answer Hearthstone to this because I know that would be your answer. What's your favorite esport to play?
Oh, that's very funny. I'd probably say Overwatch, but specifically just Overwatch Arcade and Quick Play. Because I really don't like playing competitive Overwatch. It's a bit too...
A little toxic?
Toxic, yeah. but it's a very nice game to just... Oh, hey, I have half an hour to kill. I'm just going to jump into arcade, play like a few deathmatch games, and then play a quick play. And because there's like so many different mechanics and cool things you can do with the different heroes and characters... It's always like a refreshing experience every time I've jumped back in after I haven't played for a while.
You stoked for the Vancouver Titans?
Yeah, it's really cool that Vancouver is getting a team. I know, I'm pretty happy.
It starts in what, 20 days, I think? The new season, I didn't watch any of season one because I hadn't played the game yet, and now it's the new hotness in town.
It's really cool.
Number three in the final five with Bobby X here on the Game Show on Sportsnet 650. Favorite game of all time? No Hearthstone.
It's pretty hard.
I know, right? There's been so many games.
I would have to say it would have to be some kind of iteration of poker, but I've played a lot over the years
of like online poker.
No, it's not really online poker, but it's more of I don't know what it would be called in English, but there's a lot of Chinese like poker games where the rule sets are a bit complicated. It's kind of like you're trying to collect points from cards, and it's like poker in the sense that you can gamble on it, and there's a lot of mind games involved.
Yeah.
But it's different because it's a completely different rule set.
So you're more of a card player than you are a gamer, I think.
Yeah, I really like playing card games, and like That's part of the reason I'm playing Hearthstone professionally, yeah. I guess.
What's the last game that you played, like last video game that you played that you really loved?
Right now I'm playing Resident Evil 4. Funny story is, I really wanted to play Resident Evil 2.
The remake.
Yeah, the remake.
Yeah.
My laptop didn't have enough space. So I just downloaded Resident Evil 4 instead, and the control scheme is a bit old school, as expected. Like,
yeah, it's an old school game.
Really old game.
Yeah.
But like once I got used to the control scheme, it feels very good to play. It's like very... it's not like it's very slow paced, but it's not slow enough that you get bored.
Mm-hmm.
But everything you do feels very meticulous, and it's kind of nice to it's kind of nice because there's a lot of games, like at least a lot of games now, it's a bit more like you're a bit more at least if you're playing shooters, you're a bit more trigger happy and stuff like Fortnite or CS:GO. All right, not CS:GO, because CS:GO is more meticulous,
very
but it feels like
game,
it's very,
yeah.
Feel like it's very mechanics focused. And for Resident Evil 4, the pacing feels a lot better for me. It's like kind of like a breath of fresh air.
What game coming out soon are you excited to get your hands on?
That's interesting.
This is the one that always stumps everybody.
Actually, this is actually very hard. Dang, if this was any earlier, I could just name, like, a newer card game, like Magic or Artifact.
Yeah, we've done this 3 months ago.
Are
you excited for Anthem? Do you have any care about that?
Not really. I don't really follow too many games. I would have said Smash, too, but that's already out.
Are you playing a lot of Smash?
No, I was thinking of getting it because I played a lot of Smash before, but I haven't played a lot of Smash at least in any of the recent time. Mm. But like with Nintendo Switch and Smash Ultimate, it seemed very nice to get.
Kingdom Hearts, but I guess that came out.
Yeah, that came out today.
Think.
Yeah, so that doesn't work either.
Well, yeah, a lot of the games have come out already.
Yeah. Not sure what to say.
You can pass.
I think I'm going to pass on this one. I can't name anything off the top of my head that would work.
That's fine. That is a perfectly valid answer. This is the part of the show where I clear the lane for you and let you promote yourself. Where can people find you on Twitter? If you're on YouTube or Twitch, tell people how to find you on the internet.
So, mainly I just use a Twitter account, BobbyX_HS. So BOBBY underscore and then EX. Bobby X underscore and then HS.
And it's X with an EX, not just the letter X. Do you ever stream?
Not really. I have a Twitch account with the same name, but unfortunately my laptop isn't good enough to stream.
Mm.
And I'm not sure when I'll get like an improvement, so for now that's TBA.
Win this next big tournament, and I bet you can afford to buy a new laptop. Bobby X, thank you so much for joining me here on the game show.
Thanks very much for having me on. This has been a wonderful experience.
After the break, we're talking to Eddie Liu, a.k.a. Seyun628, Hearthstone Pro with Lazarus Esports on the game show, sponsored by the Gaming Stadium on Sportsnet 650.
You play, you win. At the Gaming Stadium, Canada's first esports arena. Built from the ground up with one purpose in mind. To be the best damn place to play and watch your favorite esports. Interested in partnering with the Gaming Stadium? Sponsorship opportunities are now available. So put your brand in front of Vancouver's gaming community and associate yourself with the highest level of competition in town. At Canada's leader in esports. Visit thegamingstadium.com for more information.
Welcome back to The Game Show with Max Sussman, brought to you by The Gaming Stadium, Canada's leader in esports.
Welcome back to the game show sponsored by the Gaming Stadium here on Sportsnet 650. I'm Max Sussman. Eddie Liu has only been competing in professional Hearthstone since 2017, but he's made a pretty big name for himself since then, placing second at DreamHack Montreal just a few months after his pro debut. You'll hear more about his career in the proper introduction in just a second, but Matt Lowe, a.k.a. Matticus, who we had on our third episode, I believe, the founder of Vancouver Hearthstone, he told me Eddie is arguably BC's top Hearthstone player, so I knew I had to get him on the show, so I did. And with that, here's Eddie Liu on the game show. He is a professional Hearthstone player for Lazarus Esports. He's the 2018 DreamHack Atlanta champion and the runner-up at DreamHack Montreal in 2017. He's also a coach for hire at Gamersensei.com. Matt Lowe, a.k.a. Matticus from the Gaming Stadium, called him one of BC's top Hearthstone players. So to me, that means he's one of BC's top Hearthstone players, because Matt is an authority on BC Hearthstone. His name is Eddie Liu, a.k.a. Siyun628. Eddie, thanks for joining me here on the game show.
Thanks for inviting me.
I wanted to start with you on something that's always been super interesting to me just personally, that is video game coaching. You coach via Gamer Sensei. Just what does Gamer Sensei do?
Gamer Sensei is an online platform that allows pro players from different games, such as League of Legends, Dota 2, Hearthstone, CSGO, etc., for the pro players to have another source of income, I would say. So there would be students from all around the world trying to improve in the game they like, and then they would try to book a coach to help them improve and let them understand where did they wrong. It's kind of just like tutoring, instead is you're not tutoring for like a certain course or something, you're tutoring in the game.
Let's talk about you as a competitor for a moment. In 2018 alone, you finished top eight at seven different major tournaments. You won the one in Atlanta in November. That's some pretty impressive consistency in a game that has a lot of randomness to it. So what do you attribute that consistency to? What is it about your game that allows you to so consistently finish in the top eight like that?
I think one of the main thing I do better than my competitors is I spend a lot of time trying to understand different matchups and understand what you're supposed to do at certain cards you got to deal with, like what I mentioned before when I do coaching. So a lot, like, I don't always go in, like, wake up and then I just start my computer and just jump into games. I look at a lot of statistics, rather from HS3 play or just hear from my friends that do, like, that have time and would love to play their deck, and hear what they think about, like, the certain matchups and how I think the matchup is supposed to be and how I would change, play differently, try to adopt. Another thing for Hearthstone, which is pretty big, would be the mulligan. Mulligan is when you start the game. The player that goes first would have three cards, and the player that goes second has four cards. And they get to decide whether they keep any of the cards they were given in the beginning. There's a lot of different mulligans between players where there's someone has to be right at that point. So rather there's like, normally for me, I think there's like two different approach, I would say. One is like a more aggressive mulligan, which against certain matches where you think you are unfavored or the match is very tough to win, you're supposed to go for a more aggressive mulligan where there's only like a certain maybe three or five card pool of your 30 decks that you're supposed to keep. And all the other rest, you're supposed to mulligan and go for, quote unquote, a more aggressive mulligan. And vice versa, there's a more passive mulligan, I would say, where the range of cards you would keep maybe is like around 15 to 20 of the 30 cards. So there's a huge range of cards you would actually keep because you believe the matchup is favorable for you. And you don't need to take an extra risk to mulligan them away and might even draw like the 10 cards you want in your whole deck. So I think that's one of the main things I feel like. I think in the highest competitive level, mechanical error rarely happens. Like if you see the top players in the world or even in just North America alone, they rarely ever make mechanical misplays. The more, I think, quote-unquote misplay would be how different people treat Morgan differently. And I think that's one of my biggest edge. So I try to look up for statistics to back me up why I think certain Morgan should occur in these certain matchups, and also how I'm supposed to approach when I've been given a different head, where I'm supposed to go more aggressively or I could just play passively and win the game in the long run.
We're talking professional Hearthstone here on the game show on Sportsnet 650 with Eddie Liu. You competed under the Kyoto Esports banner for pretty much your entire career until you very recently signed with Lazarus. What prompted that move?
The main reason I switched was I saw better opportunities and I feel like the new team could support me better.
Now, Lazarus is a pretty big organization. What's the benefit of being with an org that big?
I think Lazarus is very supportive and they do a lot of promotion and try to make like a branding for their players. They are right now playing in a PUBG tournament, and some their YouTube video recently you can see they have housings for like their players. They offer a pretty good salary and support for like their players. They would always consistently ask you, do you need any help? They were trying to get us for a partnership with Twitch. They send us gears and energy drinks and such. So they want to make sure their players are at their finest when they're performing. And they just want the players to try to play their best, and they take care of everything else, which is like very awesome. So you don't have to worry about they help you buy the tickets for your tournaments and stuff. So you basically just have to focus on the game and try your best to be the best player in the field or the game you're like specialized.
Now, heading into the Winter Championships, your Lazarus teammate Bloody Face qualified. You're friends with Bobby X, who we spoke to earlier in the show. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Who are you going to be cheering for if those two face each other?
Oh my God, that would be a very tough question, honestly. I would definitely say Bobby X. One of the main reasons I would go for Bobby X, cheer for Bobby X, would be that Bloody Face has already qualified for Worlds since he got top four in Summer Championship. He actually got second place. So Bloody Face has already qualified for Worlds. So if Bloody Face, if Bloody Face actually wins Bobby, for example, in top eight and makes World Championship again, he doesn't get any extra prize money. But the spot would be obtained by the rest of the players playing another bracket. So since Bloody Face has a ticket for the World Championship, I think the win would be way more impactful for Bobby X. Also, I think Bobby X is a very good player, which is very hungry for success and understands matches very, very well. So he and I are kind of the players who takes a lot of time trying to understand different matchups and understand how you're supposed to approach matchups instead of just keep playing games and like just try to learn from there, which I think is a way better approach trying to learn Hearthstone. Because, as I mentioned before, mechanical errors are very easy to fix and rarely happen. Trying to understand mulligans and try to understand different matches are way more important at the highest level.
We're talking professional Hearthstone with Eddie Liu, professional Hearthstone player for Lazarus Esports here on the game show on Sportsnet 650. How did you get into Hearthstone originally?
Honestly, I heard Hearthstone from a cousin at the beginning when beta just came out, and I have been playing Yu-Gi-Oh! For around 8 years, and I really just love card games since I was young. So it didn't take much time for me to start playing Hearthstone. But when I first started, I wasn't focusing on Constructed. I was basically a arena player only, because I enjoy drafting different cards from every time and trying to adopt what when you got card to deal with. Like, how do you pick, and like the reasons behind that. And since every game is different, it just feels really fresh to play, and it felt really good. I started playing Constructed in early 2017, and after that, I felt like Constructed is just way more deep understanding toward the game, and that's how I changed it. I liked it even more.
What did the come-up look like for you? Like, how did you first get noticed? Was it just you did really well in ladder matches, or did you go to tavern events and you play in Vancouver Hearthstone? Like, how did you become a competitive player, so to speak?
I think it started since Green Hat Montreal. In Hearthstone, it's very hard to get noticed, I would say, compared to other games, because a lot of people would have that idea where, oh, it's just a card game is normally just RNG, so it's more like luck-based, and people don't take players that do well in like tour stuff really seriously unless you are really consistent, I would say. So after Dream Hack Montreal, people start noticing this name, but they would just think, oh, it might be like another, like just another player who did well in one Dream Hack, and it never happens again. So people had heard my name, but never know like where I came from, or like when did I start playing, or like what kind of decks I like to play, or like what's my skill level, what have I accomplished before, and such and such. So it's, I think it's got better since I got second place in Rat Race. Rat Race is was made by, like Rat Race is a tournament that made by a player called The Rat. I don't think he currently plays the game anymore, but he used to make tournaments for community, like for the community. And it's a ladder race where everyone in the beginning of the month starts at rank 15. Before Blizzard changed that, for now, if you finish Legend, you would deduct 4 ranks and you would start rank 4. So back then, you start at rank 15. And as a goal, it's just to whoever races to Legend first would get 50% of the prize pool. That one was the first time I played Rat Race, which I expected to play around. I maybe have to play like 18 to 20 hours straight if I want to get a huge lead against my competitors. Luckily, I like before going into the playing, I had some like strategy, maybe like it's not like really close strategy, but just tips. So I forced myself to only choose to play one deck on ladder. Don't be tilted and switch deck. So just focus on that one deck, regardless of what outcome happens, since I believe it was the strongest deck at the current meta, and I believe there's not enough counter for it. So I just stick to that one deck. I prepare a lot of waters and fruits just to keep me hydrated and keep me focused on the game. After 14 hours, I was already number one on... I didn't get Legend yet, because the race was to be at Legend, but it ends at 24 hours. So I was ranked 2 4-stars, and I was already ahead of second place for 8 stars. So I was in a pretty comfortable lead. And I was kind of tired, so I just took a nap. And so 4 hours before the end of the rat race, I was still first place. But the second place is very, very close already. It was ranked 2 2-stars, I would say. So I was still 2-star ahead. But eventually, I just decided that I'll take a second place if it happens, like if he passed me, and if not, then I guess I will just take first place. But at the end, he passed me in third place, which was Muzzy. So it was the Dream Hack Montreal winner when I played him in the finals. He was very, very close, but since there was one extra bonuses, which is if you were participating at the LAN, because they invited a lot of pros to play in an eSport arena. It's a gaming stadium as well, and a lot of pros were playing at the venue. If you get the first play at playing in the venue, they give you 10,000 extra on top of the prize pool. So since Muzzy would get like $10,000 and the $200 from the prize, online prize pool, he doesn't care about the extra $100 he gets from the online prize pool, which he just decided to stop playing and he won the extra $10,000 from the LAN tournament.
That sounds like smart math. We're talking professional Hearthstone with Eddie Liu, a pro Hearthstone player with Lazarus Esports. I asked Bobby X this earlier. I'll ask you again because it's kind of my primary question when it comes to Hearthstone. How does skill and ability overcome the randomness of inherent to Hearthstone?
As most of the card games, there will be RNG. But I think if you have to have a mindset that you believe in the long run, a better player would win majority of the time or more than the player who has less skill. So there will be moments where you are sad or depressed because there's bad RNG happen and you lost maybe like to like 5% odd, 10% odd. It happened to me in this winter playoff, where I lost a series because I missed like a 8% chance. Like it was only 8% chance for me to lose that series, and it happened, which it was pretty frustrating, but you have to just accept it and keep going and understand that there will be your moments to come and you have to grab them when it happens. I think it's mainly just mentality. If you always believe that, oh, I'm just unlucky, then, and you're not focusing on your own improvement, then it's not going to get you anywhere. That's how I think about it.
We're just about out of time here, Eddie. I always ask the same five questions to every person who comes on the show. That's called the Final Five. So let's get into the Final Five with Eddie Liu, pro Hearthstone player for Lazarus Esports here on the game show on Sportsnet 650. Eddie, favorite esport to watch?
Favorite esports to watch? You mean any game?
Any game. I mean any game that's played competitively, right?
Okay, yeah, for sure. I love watching League of Legends. I used to play League of Legends. I mean, I'm not playing it competitively, but I love the game. And I reached Diamond 2 at my prime, which is top 1% of the game, I would say. Yeah. Which I love the game, basically. And there, I think it was last year. I'm not too sure. It was either 2016 or 2017. Probably 2017. No, actually, 2017 is up 2 years ago, where the NALCS was happening in Vancouver. I bought the ticket and went there. It was just phenomenal. It was insane. I really like. You feel so connected with the players that you like, the team. And you hear the crowd cheering for everything, like for a kill, for even like a ward, everyone's cheering. It's just the atmosphere is just awesome, and I love the game basically. So that would be one of the games for sure that I love watching.
I assume that that League will be your answer to this one as well. But besides Hearthstone, what's your favorite esport to play?
Oh yeah, League of Legends.
What's your favorite game of all time, of every video game you've played?
All video games. I think it would probably be League of Legends as well, honestly. I really loved the game. Like it was the first time I played kind of these called MOBA games.
Yeah.
And it's just so much fun. Every game is, you start from level one and there's different, you have to, it's like kind of, you can't say it's really like according to Hearthstone, but like a lot of things, you have to understand a lot of things going on in the game, like whether, how you're supposed to build items, how you're supposed to make your runes and masteries, like understand how you're supposed to approach matchups. Mm-hmm. Like if you're playing mid lane, then you have to know how this matchup is supposed to play. Are you supposed to just farm until whatever, and then try to carry late game, or you're more early in champion where you're supposed to try to get a lead, like such as such. So I just think these games where there's so many different things happen, and even like League of Legends, there's some, like a very small amount of RNG where sometimes your teammates are really bad, and even though you had a good game, you still might lose the game, and it could be frustrating. And it's the same thing where you understand if you're a fair player, if you win your lane, if you're trying to do more than your opponent in success criteria, you will win more games often.
Fourth question in the final five here with pro Hearthstone player Eddie Liu on the game show on Sportsnet 650. What's the last game you played that you really loved?
League of Legends. Oh my God.
The final five brought to you by League of Legends, apparently.
Yeah, I still play very occasionally, maybe like once every week or once every 2 weeks, just a game or two. Because I'm like a one trick. I used to only play Fizz, and now I only play Kazakhstan. So even though I don't play regularly, I can still play at a reasonable level to what I perform, because I know a lot about my own champion mechanics, and I could get to focus more on like the map and like stuff like that. So that's one of the benefits of being one trick, that you don't need to play a lot, and you can still play fine and still enjoy the game. But yeah, that League of Legends is one of my favorite games for sure.
What game coming out soon are you excited to get your hands on?
I'm not sure about what game will be out, but right now I've been playing a little bit of Dota 2 Auto Chess.
Really?
So yeah, it's a in-game feature in Dota 2 where you have to download Dota 2, and then it's kind of like a side project for them, I believe. I'm not too sure. But the game just seems very fun. And as if you have noticed, a lot of pro Hearthstone streamers, such as Dog, Fino, a lot of people that stream Hearthstone regularly are streaming Dota 2 Auto Chess too. Because the game is, I think I only play maybe 5 or 10 games, so I can't say too much. But it seems really complicated and fun. So like where you don't have to control your characters to attack your opponents. You just have to control to buy what characters, and there's a lot of in-depth things that going on, such as synergy with different like beats and stuff. Like I'm really not good at the game yet, so I can't really say much, but it just feels pretty fun. Like I don't know, most of the time, like the first three or four games, I'm not really sure what I'm doing, but it just seems pretty complex, and there has to be a reason why other pros just love it. It's like, yeah.
All right, that's just about it. This is the part, Eddie, where I clear the lane and let you promote yourself. Where can people find you on Twitter? Are you on Twitch or are you on YouTube? Anywhere. Pump your socials here.
I do have a Twitter, which is LVR, and then Saiyun628, you can find me. Or I think you can add a Saiyun628 underscore Hearthstone. So you can find me that on Twitter. My Twitch is just Saiyun_628. So, yep, that's how you can find me.
All right, Eddie Liu, a.k.a. Saiyun628, thanks for joining me here on the game show.
Thanks for having me. Had a wonderful time.
That's it for this week's episode. Thanks to Bobby and Eddie for joining me. Thanks to Matt Lowe from the Gaming Stadium as well for helping us set it up. And thanks to my sponsor, the Gaming Stadium. They have the Pinnacle 2019, which has been announced for July 5th through 7th. $15,000 prize pool. That's 5K more than last time. Check out thegamingstadium.com for all the info you need to know about that and anything else you need to know about the Gaming Stadium. If you want to listen to old episodes of the show, check out sportsnet.ca/650. Mouse over the shows tab and then click on the game show. I'm your host, Max Sussman. You can find me at trulyitbemax on Twitter and on Twitch at twitch.tv/maxbussman. And thank you for listening. As always, until next time, whatever you do, don't tilt.